Hello and welcome to Hogan Lovell's Newsbeat, the podcast designed to keep you up to date with what's been happening in the world of pensions over the last 2 weeks. I'm Claire Southern from the HL team, and I'll be taking you through the twists and turns of the last 14 days. In this session, we'll be looking at recent developments in the world of ESG, the pension regulator's consultation on statements of strategy, and the Department of Work and Pensions consultation on surplus and public sector consolidator. So first up, putting the S into ESG. The Department of Work and Pensions has published a final version of a guide for pension scheme trustees prepared by the Task Force on Social Factors. The guidance is split into four sections. The first section is social factors and pension funds. The guide sets out why social factors are important from an investment perspective and why they should be taken into consideration by trustees. The second section is addressing social factors in pension portfolios. The guide provides a framework for addressing social factors in pension schemes, providing baseline, good, and best practice options. The section has a deep dive on modern slavery and why trustees should consider these risks when investing. The third part is the materiality assessment framework. This sets out an example approach to help evaluate investment portfolio exposure to social factor risks. And finally, the last part is social factor data. This considers the data trustees can use to manage social factors in investment. Now, on a related note, the pensions regulator has published a blog titled Trustees, Take Stock and Plan for Wider ESG Risks and Opportunities. The blog encourages trustees to consider how they could further develop their approach to managing wider environmental, social, and governance risks and opportunities now that climate change reporting requirements have become business as usual. The blog comments that ESG disclosure requirements have expanded, with focus on wider sustainability factors such as nature and social. This can be seen with the introduction of the Task Force for Nature-Related Financial Disclosure and the Task Force for Social Factors. The blog suggests several action points for trustees to consider, including becoming early adopters of new reporting regimes such as the Task Force for Nature-Related Financial Disclosures. Now, we've also had a consultation from the pensions regulator asking for views on statements of strategy. As you will know, new requirements have been introduced requiring defined benefit schemes to set a long-term funding and investment strategy for their scheme. As part of these changes, schemes will be required to complete a statement of strategy alongside their actuarial valuation documents that sets out this long-term funding strategy and their approach to managing associated risks. The consultation proposes that the statement of strategy be standardised with the aim of making life easier for trustees, and included within it is an example statement of strategy. There will be different templates depending on whether the scheme is submitting a fast track or bespoke valuation, so one to look out for. The Department of Work and Pensions has also been in the job of publishing consultations, with one looking at proposals on surplus and the creation of a new public sector consolidator administered by the Pension Protection Fund. So looking first at scheme surplus. The government's stated aims are to support schemes to invest for surplus in productive asset allocations, to remove practical barriers to surplus extraction, such as those relating to scheme rules, and to remove behavioural barriers by bringing surplus extraction in line with those pesky things called trustee duties. The Department of Work and Pensions is considering a statutory override to enable all schemes to share surplus more easily with members and employers, subject to appropriate funding levels. Interestingly, or worryingly, depending on your perspective, the consultation suggests various different measures for assessing whether there is enough money in the scheme to allow a distribution of surplus, including set margins over a low dependency funding basis and a potential link to covenant strength. The second part of the consultation focuses on the government's intention to establish a public sector consolidator administered by the Pension Protection Fund by 2026. The consolidator is aimed at schemes which are not attractive to commercial providers. Although I suspect commercial providers will be eyeing up carefully any proposals with exactly that point in mind. So finally, a thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the whip through of the last 2 weeks of developments in pensions land. If you'd like to know more about us here at Hogan Lovells, please click on the link.